Welcome to the Casey Kowar Show, a celebration of words, and I'm delighted and thrilled to have as my guest today Kathy Patrick. We'll be discussing Kathy's new book, The Pulpwood Queen's Tiara-Wearing Book-Sharing Guide to Life, published by Grand Central Publishing. And first of all, Kathy, congratulations and thanks for being on the show today.
Oh, thank you, Casey. It's just a privilege to do this with you. I'm just so excited that we're talking on the phone.
Yeah. And in the interest of full disclosure, I will say that I am an honorary timber guy. I have been to
That's right.
Girlfriend's weekend. And Kathy,
you actually were one of maybe the first timber guy of all.
I like to think of myself in that regard. So that's one of my honors in life. Kathy, if you would, for people that aren't familiar with the Pulpwood Queens, tell us a little bit about, first of all, the book I just loved, and I felt like I was talking to you as I was reading the book, and you start out by kind of explaining how this journey that you started back when you lost a job actually led to the formation of the Pulpwood Queens, and if you could give us your version of how this all turned out to happen with you now having a book in bookstores.
Well, it's kind of amazing. This has actually been a six-year journey for me. I've been working on this. I started the first year after I'd been opened, and I was just starting out first, just kind of going to write the story of Beauty and the Book and the Pulpwood Queens, but it has ended up being even more so the story of my life in books and how books saved me and why I'm on a mission to promote literacy. And today's actually the pub date, so I'm just very excited about it. It's a little surreal right now because I've always been promoting other people's books, so it's kind of different promoting my own.
And I think it's for those of you that haven't met Kathy or heard about her club, you have a mission. You're in Jefferson, Texas, and you have a combination of a beauty salon and a bookstore, the first of its kind in the world. And
Right. You
also have the Girlfriends Weekend where Pulpwood Queens from all over the country come and congregate on Jefferson, Texas. If you would tell us a little bit about that weekend.
Girlfriend Weekend is something I started after the first year. I wanted to have a big party, and I invited in all my Pulpwood Queens and all the authors that had visited us throughout the year, and we just put the word out to everybody, to book clubs, to girl groups, to anybody who's interested in reading, that we'd have this celebration. After a couple of, each year it just kind of kept doubling in attendance, and then after the third year, I realized that mostly women were coming to this thing, So I decided that I would tailor make it for girlfriends. So we changed the name to Girlfriend Weekend, and it's just evolved. Last year we had 1,000 women come to the event, and this year with my book debut, we are predicting record crowds. I think people are going to be flocking from all over the country to come to little historic Jefferson, Texas, where we do a book festival that is not only great on promoting reading and literacy, but we have a lot of big-time fun while we're at it, too. We have two nights of entertainment, and this year I think everybody's just going to be blown away by what we've got planned for everybody.
That's funny. Kathy, what's the best place for people to find out about the weekend and about the Pulpwood Queens? What's the best website for them to check out?
Actually, it's the www.pulpwoodqueen.com. I'm posting now daily, and sometimes even more than once a day. All the news is coming in on that blog site, and I've got, if you scroll down, you'll find out the itinerary, every update that I'm going to do on Girlfriend Weekend. I'm getting ready to post the entire full program. It's going to be on that site. And then I'm leaving tomorrow for my book tour, so I'll be posting photos and blogs daily from that trip. And as news and reviews comes in, I'll be posting that on that site too. So pulpwoodqueen.com is where they need to go to find out everything about the wonderful world of Pulpwood Queens.
Absolutely. Kathy, one of the things I really like about your book, The Pulpwood Queens, Tiara-Wearing Book-Sharing Guide to Life, is there's some practical information in there as well about how to start book clubs and how you started your club. And it's also just a treasure trove of lists of books. And as I was reading, I was thinking, this is a great kind of a textbook for book clubs or people that are wondering what would be a good book for me to read for my book club. There's just a wealth of information in this book about those kind of titles.
Well, when you've been a lifetime reader like me, I had a lot of things I wanted to say. And one of the things, the first question I get from almost anybody who contacts me about starting is, how do you do a book club? And so I decided I would give everybody the nuts and bolts of what has worked and, you know, why reinvent the wheel. I know I've learned through the 7 years I've been running this chapter and the chapters in the book club what works and what doesn't work. So I just figured this could be kind of a one-stop shop for anybody who's ever had an interest in being in a book club or who's a book lover, and so that's why all that information was posted, you know, and put in the book so that they could carry it with them. It has the list when they go to the bookstore of great reads, and a lot of them are authors that have not been discovered, which I think is also very important. So there's not really anybody out there promoting first-time first book authors, and so you know, that's kind of always been my thing. I like to discover the author first, and then when they become famous, it just makes me really excited.
I understand.
I'm so happy for them.
I know. Kathy, as you were writing this book, first of all, how long did it take you to actually write The Pulpwood Queens, and how many drafts and revisions? And when you started the book, with the book you started and the book you ended up with, did it change a lot as you were writing it?
Actually, the book is pretty much, you know, my voice. It just, the first, you know, version was over 600 pages long. It's nothing I do, I can do very simply. I have to tell the entire story. So I had a lot of editorial process, you know, from my editor at Grand Central. And also, you know, they said, save something for the next book, because I had just too much information. So, I would say, though, I'm a reader, not a writer, so I was kind of like on-the-job training for me. I mean, I've held authors in such high regard that I wanted my book to be as important and to also showcase them in such a way that people would, you know, respect the books that I was recommending. So I don't know, 25, 30 versions maybe. I completely lost count. In fact, when the book finally came back to me finished, I had to reread the book again just to see what was in there. I had written so much that I didn't know what had been cut out and what hadn't, but I'm very happy with the finished product. And it seems like readers are already, they're emailing me fast and furious. They're really enjoying the book, and a lot of them have told me they're just really sorry it ended. And I said, but don't have no fear, because there's going to be another one, and I'll be getting, as soon as I get back from book tour, I'll be hard at work at that.
Excellent. And I think one of the things that I really saw when I visited Jefferson, Texas, is that reading can be a solitary thing that we do. At the end of the day, we put our feet up and we read. And one of the things I think that the Pulpwood Queens do is it's really a celebration of books, and it takes reading from being a solitary, isolated experience and turns it into a community celebration. And I think that's one of the reasons why your movement has taken hold as strongly as it has, is people love to talk about books.
They do. They really do. Women need conversation. And a book club is really about a lot more than just discussing a book. It's also a kind of a license to get together with your girlfriends and do all the other things you like to do, like share a meal or have a few drinks, or, you know, just to talk about, you know, life in general. Women are so busy these days that they don't have time for the bridge clubs and the coffee clubs that our parents did, or, you know, visiting with a neighbor over the fence. So it's a community thing. That's the same way with my bookstore. A hair salon is a lot more than just a place to go get your hair done. It's a place where people go to really just have that conversation and share each other's lives. A lot of people say, oh, you gossip at Beauty in the Book, and I said, no, in fact, I'm related to half the town. I don't put up with any type of gossip, but we share each other's lives, and that is probably the reason why my doors are always, you know, swinging wide open every 5 seconds. We have so many people coming in just to chat.
And one of the things I liked about the book, Kathy, is when you wrote about Katrina, and when Hurricane Katrina, when it happened, I was very moved by the way that the community of Jefferson rallied around the people that came, and the way that you were able to use books, and your daughter got involved with reading children's stories to the children, and what a calming event that was for the people that were in a very high stress situation.
Well, the town of Jefferson was just filled with displaced families. These were people who just drove their very nice middle-income SUVs into town thinking they were getting away for a weekend while the storm blew over. And what they didn't know was the storm took away their homes, flooded their homes, and so they had no place to go back to. So they came for a vacation, and they ended up staying for months. And it was shocking, and it was, and you know, we all just put ourselves in their position. What if we'd gone on vacation and found out we had no home to go home to?
Mm-hmm.
It's you know, I have totally changed my whole mindset on having personal things, you know, and buying things, because now I see things as, you know, they're just fleeting. And really what is important in life is relationships and helping and loving one another. So, you know, I really believe in paying it forward. And so we rallied around and helped all these families, and we found a lot out about our own selves. I think the same thing happened in New York when 9/11 happened, and it happens, you know, anytime there's a natural disaster. We find out we're actually much nicer people than we even thought. And I'm really happy I was involved with that. And even though it was a terrible, one of the, you know, the world's worst disasters, especially here in the United States, it also, a lot of good came out of it. A lot of people found out that their families were more important than they were taking things for granted. And so now they can see things a little bit differently. And the fact that we read to these people to keep them entertained also showed that, you know, you can be entertained without something that's plugged into the electricity. You know, reading is probably one of the best forms of entertainment in the world when we use our imaginations, and it takes us away sometimes from things that are just very hard for us to bear.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a great escapism, and it certainly helped me and the others, and especially the children, realize that, you know, it's about sharing each other's lives.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we really learned a lot from that horrible catastrophe, but we go on, we persevere.
Absolutely.
We onward book soldiers is what I always say.
Yep. And that's a continuing need there. I like the way you point that out in the book as well. It's not an event that happened and that it's behind us. We need to keep,
mm-hmm.
we need to stay focused on that. And your love of books comes shining through in this, in your book. And you also stress, I love the story you told about your teacher who taught you about France and Madeleine and
mm-hmm.
really introduced you to the world of books. And I think, I know for myself, I can go back and I can find that reader I had in sixth grade that really taught me the importance of books. And I think you celebrate that in your book as well.
Oh, sure. My teachers were such wonderful mentors to me, and they really believed in the power of reading. I mean, they read every day after lunch for half an hour, kind of got to settle back into the studying mode, and I really think that needs to be incorporated back into the school systems today. Reading aloud teaches children so much, and you know, those teachers were unsung heroes. They were very quiet people who did a lot of good, and I wasn't able to thank a lot of them in person. And I hope everybody who reads my book will realize that our children spend more time with their teachers than sometimes even us, and we need to really look at that a little bit and think about how much responsibility we put on them and appreciate them a little more. You know, I'd say over half my book club is made up of teachers and educators and librarians, and they're the real readers in this country, and they're the ones that, you know, have such an influence on our children. So they should be rewarded for that. And the book is kind of a love letter to those people.
Mm-hmm. Kathy, I can imagine this. It does have a very surreal aspect to you, but because, like you say, you've always been the one that's been promoting the books, and now we're promoting you and celebrating you. What are you happiest about now that you've gone through all the revisions and you can hold the book in your hands and people are now starting to read it? Have you had a chance to really take away what you're happiest with at this point in time, or is it just evolving at this point for you?
Well, Well, no, no. I think, you know, by writing this book, I realized that now I have this huge responsibility on my shoulders. People are really looking to me for a guidance on lots of things pertaining to reading, and also for helping so many authors who are not getting the publicity and the accolades they deserve. So I had somebody one time say to me, I hope you realize, Kathy, that you're thinking about this moment of what all has happened to you, and you're blessed. And yes, I truly am blessed. That's the one thing I thank God for every day, that he gave me this direction to go this way with promoting reading. And I feel like it's a calling, just much like becoming a minister or a teacher or anything that serves others. It's very important to me, and I'm just really leaving myself wide open to see what lays ahead. But I see good things happening.
That's fantastic. Tell us a little bit about the tour that you're going to be doing. I saw the tour on the website, and it looks like you're going to be all over the place in the next 30 to 45 days.
I know. I said, you know, I wonder if anybody's ever died from a book tour. I go, think of all the book sales if I did croak. You know, when an artist dies, usually their works sell for a lot more. I really, it's going to be a very busy book tour, and I'm very excited. And you know, I've got four of my Pulpwood Queens now riding with me. I have the Pulpwood Queen posse. We plan on just really having this month long, actually it's over a month long, dress up, parting down, ultimate Thelma and Louise road trip, with not that ending. We're not going to have the ending of Thelma and Louise. We do, we are just embracing it, and we're really excited about it, and I'm just thrilled that I have this opportunity to go on this trip with my girlfriends, who happen to all be in my book club. So, you know, all good things come from reading books.
Yes.
And I am living testimony to that fact.
I agree. My guest today is Kathy Patrick. We're discussing the Pulpwood Queens Tiara-Wearing Book Sharing Guide to Life, published by Grand Central Publishing. And Kathy, when I read the first chapter, I'm paraphrasing, but when life hands you a lemon, turn it into a margarita, it's something like that.
Absolutely.
You couldn't probably have imagined in your wildest dreams when your sister said to you, why don't you open up a beauty salon and a bookstore? Then to fast forward ahead 7 years with you having a book that's going to be in stores and you're going out and touring. It really is a great story in and of itself.
It really is, and don't think that I don't think about that every day. Now it's so funny, and I hope when people read this, they'll take this away with them too. When something really horrible happens to you in your life, something good always comes from it.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's hard to see when you're in a moment. But I was devastated when I lost my job as a book publisher's rep, but had no idea that, you know, what would happen when I opened this hair salon bookstore. But it has totally changed my life. I feel like I have been, I always looked inward, and now I look out. And I think that's important for people to know. Whenever life throws something at you that is very hard for you to deal with, you need to do something to help somebody else. And when you do that, all of a sudden, it changes the way you look at things. And you know, I've told many people that the first 50 years of my life, you kind of focus on yourself, on what you're going to do in your life, what you're going to do as a profession, you know, what things you're going to accumulate. And so after Hurricane Katrina, I thought, I'm going to focus on now giving back. You know, that was an eye-opener for me, and now I want to give back to everybody who has helped me along the way and pay it forward. You know, I've had a lot of people help me in my life, so now it's my turn to help others.
Mm-hmm. And I also think that there's I'm sure you're going to be hearing from a lot of the authors that you have helped over the years. I remember you and I, when I was down in Jefferson, I met Jeanette Walls, who's just a lovely
yes.
person. And so I'm so thrilled to see her success with The Glass Castle. And
well, you know, I would like to see that with every one of the Pulpwood Queen Book Club selections. You know, people always ask me, you know, she's just was such a popular author. And I said, well, that's because she got the attention she deserved. But
yes.
Most of the books that we pick, you know, all of them should get the same kind of attention. But Jeanette wrote an incredible story, and so do all the other 11 books of the year. And I just hope that'll make people want to read them even more.
And I will mention
another
that
11 will get featured that way too.
Exactly. That there is a list of the books that you've selected for the Pulpwood Queens is in the book, which is very nice because it was kind of a nice little bit of serendipity. Ruth Francisco, who wrote The Secret Memoir of Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis, we kind of got to know each other through Ruth's work and through some other things. And that's one thing I'd like people, and I think people know, is that there are a lot of authors out there that are genuinely nice people, and they work awfully hard to try to make, to the work that goes into their craft.
Well, I really fought to have the entire list for all of my Pulpwood Queens be put in the book from inception to publication day because, a good book is a good book. And I look at it this way, these could be, each book that I read that I promote, this could be the next To Kill a Mockingbird.
Mm-hmm.
This could be the next Jeanette Walls' The Glass Castle, We try to think of it that way. Every book that is published that I select, they all have wonderful merit, and I feel like I'm kind of a champion for undiscovered authors too, because there really is nobody that is really focusing on first-time first book authors or authors who maybe have been famous in another profession that write a book. They're oftentimes dismissed. They go, if they wrote for television,
yes,
they probably couldn't write a book. And I found that is exactly the opposite. So many of the authors are, if you're good at one thing, you can be good at many, many others. So I just hope that everybody really, checks out our list, and you can take it to the bookstore with you. You've got,
yep,
your built-in shopping list.
Absolutely.
Right there.
Absolutely. Well, Kathy, I am so happy for you. I really urge people to read the Pulpwood Queens, Tierra Waring Booksharing Guide to Life, because one of the things I liked when I met you and met the Pulpwood Queens is you have a lot of fun, but you're deadly serious about promoting literacy, and that's what I came away with.
Well, I think oftentimes they see the big hair in Tierra, and I have to tell everybody that big hair came about. I don't have big hair. Diane Sawyer, when we were on Good Morning America, wanted us to have big hair. If Good Morning America asked you to have big hair, you'd have big hair too.
Right.
But that brought attention to our cause.
Absolutely.
And so we may look a little zany in our hot pink and leopard print, but absolutely we are really serious about promoting reading, and I do too. I hope everybody checks out the book. If they don't purchase it, I'm sure they can get a copy at the library, and then pass it forward. Pay it, give it to your neighbor or your best friend or your library or school. There's something in it for everybody.
Yep, I agree, and it's a great gift to people because within the borders of the book, you get about another 200 or 300, whatever the number is, recommendations of other books to read. And that's one question I always get. People ask me, "What are your favorite books? What are you reading?" And I always pull up lame on that one. I can't even remember the book I read last week when someone asked me that. And so it's nice to have that list that you have in there. And some of them I'm going to go back and read because I never really read a lot of children's books, but I love when I read a good children's book. So there's a lot of information in there for those of us that want to explore other kinds of books as well.
Now, there's something for everybody, and it's not just a girl's book. I know everybody thinks the Tierra Waring Pulpwood Queens. There's a lot of books in there guys are going to like, too.
Absolutely.
And I do have men in my book club called the Timber Guys, and they follow along just like many of the husbands are reading their wives' books, and they all come up to me and they go, "Well, I didn't think I was going to like that book, but I absolutely thought that was one of the best books I ever read." And I get really excited about that, too, because that means the Pulpwood Queens are taking that book home and sharing it with their family. So that's exciting to me, and we'll just keep on this mission promoting literacy. I hope everybody goes to the pulpwoodqueen.com and meets me in the bookstores, and I really do want to meet everybody and see if we can get some more chapters going across the country. And I just have to thank you, Casey, because you've just been instrumental in helping get the word out about the Pulpwood Queens, and what you're doing with your interviewing of authors is absolutely going to be a legacy that will be enjoyed by generations to come. And it's such a great thing that you're doing that I hope everybody appreciates so much what you're keeping, authors' books alive. And the Smithsonian needs to know about you. That's all I've got to say.
Well, as they say, from your lips to God's ears. Well, thanks, Kathy. It's been fun, and I'm excited for you. I'm really happy for you, and I know you're going to have a blast on this book tour. So Take care of yourself, and we'll get caught up down the road and have a great time at the Girlfriend Weekend.
I certainly will, and thank you so much, Casey, and I just want to encourage everybody that listens to this that please, you know, support Casey in his venture, because he is really doing a wonderful service and making history by what you're doing on recording all these wonderful authors. So thank you so much. It's just been a privilege.
Thank you, Kathy.